Let me say that y'all who did not go missed a great conference last weekend. Now, if all of you had been there, Jack would have been in the loony bin today. Still, you should have been there. There was around 400 folks there. Jack had people spread out through four motels. And except for one or two, he used terrific preachers for the conference. But I got to tell you, Steve and Robbie preached on Friday night. Robbie started, and Steve preached, and I was amazed at how well that fit all week long, what they did on Friday night. And I know preachers, and none of us do the thing that we do when we get up there because of what's already been done. We don't do that. I think I could speak for everybody about that. We just do whatever we've studied out or whatever the Lord lays on our heart or whatever we think would be a good thing for us to preach when we get up there. But Robbie preached on how God divided things, starting in Genesis, separating light from dark, and right down through the Bible to show the necessity of rightly dividing the word of truth. And what Steve preached fit perfectly like a glove with what Robbie preached. And then from then on, the weekend was just, it was as though the weekend was established by that. And so it was. But I got to tell you also, I never heard Brian Sipes better. If you have to buy the whole set of DVDs to get Brian Sipes Saturday night, go ahead and pay Hip Ma about $60 and get the whole set. Now, you got to get Brian's sermon on Saturday night. I'm kidding about the price. He doesn't charge. If you need Hip Ma's address, you can email me and I'll give it to you if you're listening on the internet or on CD or tape. Hip does CD and DVD both at every conference he goes to, usually three a year, and they are available. He makes them available. It's part of his ministry. You can support that ministry so that he can continue to do that if you like, but he'll send them to you if you don't send him any money. But Hip Ma is in Oneonta, Alabama, and he's got a service that's pretty fast. Who was it? Was it you, Susan? You got them too?
I got mine on Friday.
Incredible. Hip must have got laid off. Ain't got anything to do. I don't know about that, but he is fast with them. If you ask for them, you'll get them. And I praise the Lord for that kind of a ministry and someone to do it. It's great. But if you need his address, just ask me. We have it on the computer in there. Dick, is it on the church registry?
No.
Okay. It is on our mailing list computer in here, and so we can give it to you if you need it. Percy Peters on Saturday night were as good as I ever heard either one of them. Percy gets up there and he says, I turned 75 not very long ago, and I don't care what anybody thinks. That's exactly the way he preached for the next 35 minutes. Then on Sunday morning, Obed preached last, and Obed is the best I've heard Obed in years. He preached the way he used to. I'm really looking forward to him coming out here this year, but Obed said that he had quadruple bypass surgery last July, and he didn't care what anybody thought either. Anyway, the conference was great all the way through. It really was. All the messages were terrific. Now I want to tell you about a couple of things coming up here. We have a special message coming down the aisle, I believe. Don't we, Dick?
Yeah, I'll say something about
it. Okay, come on up here. You probably say better things than me anyway.
Well, I'll just go that far. Turn to Acts 26, please. Acts 26. There have been several key statements that I've heard from this pulpit in 10 years that we've been coming here. The first was Brother Moore when he said the five most important words in the Bible was in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. The other five words that are key words that I hear from here is when Jerry says, "Let's take a break, folks." But the other three words was at a conference when Steve Atwood was here, and he stood here and point blank said, "I hate religion." And what we saw at this conference with these Mennonites was the reason why Steve said, "I hate religion."
Amen.
We had the opportunity, Nancy and I did, to sit at the table next to 14, were there 14 there?
18
people from Kentucky. And we sat at the back of the table, so you know our table was behind theirs, and we could see all of them. You might think we take notes. Those people were obsessed. So if you'll look at Acts 26 for a moment, verse 15. When Jesus tells Paul, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles from whom now I send thee." This is what the Mennonites have experienced. "To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith that is in me." What we saw in those people were these individuals who were turned from the power of Satan unto God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it was worth going if you didn't just sit there and watch them. Amen. It was incredible to see what they had been relieved from and what they were experiencing by believing the words on the page. I couldn't get over it. The most amazing sight to me was Leonard, tall, young fella, and Steve was preaching, and Leonard was sitting there, and I kid you not, Steve made a statement, and Leonard had his head down, and Steve makes this statement, or he reads something, and Leonard goes, he was just, "I don't believe this." And this happened throughout the conference. The messages were good, but seeing those people were just incredible. You need to talk to Nancy and ask her about her, find out about what they now don't do. The women didn't have on their coverings of their head. They had cut their hair. They'd been, I guess, removed from the church, but Nancy got that information from her. What these young people are facing, these young married couples are facing, is going home because their parents don't know about what's happened. And they're going to have to go home and face their parents. And one thing I never saw from any of us that go to these conferences, on Saturday afternoon during the break, outside of our room next to us was a young man from Kentucky sitting out there on the patio, on the picnic bench, had his Bible open reading. These people were incredible. I wish you could have seen what they have learned and what they no longer have to do. It really does show that they have been relieved from what I think is the power of Satan, their religious system, unto the freedom on believing these words on the page. It was an incredible experience. The other thing was watching Charles color. He sat there with a bunch of kids, and he got this coloring book. But the funny thing, the little boy across the table from him had the colors. And he wasn't going to share it with Charles. And what was funny is Charles sitting there going, "Give me a grape." No, come on, I want a grape. Negotiating with a 4-year-old trying to get colors. You know, it was a great conference. I wish you could have come.
One of the more astounding things at this conference is that there wasn't just one or two new ones scattered throughout. There was 18 at one table. And they were in the wow and oh my gosh, why hadn't I seen that before stage? And we love being in that stage. Every day was an exciting day. I don't know about what it was for you, but it was for us. And it was for these folks. They were just overwhelmed with number. You know, there's really this many people. I don't know how big a Mennonite church gets or is where they were from, but it was an overwhelming thing to see them and their reaction to the Word of God. And praise God for every aspect of that. And I'll tell you something. It is a rare thing that a preacher is privileged to be in and around that sort of thing occurring with more than one or two people at a time. And Barry is, y'all know Barry. Barry is still floating. And he probably will for a while yet. But Barry is he rejoices in a moment. He'll rejoice about this. I'm having to pay overage charges on my cell phone talking to Barry. I'm just kidding about that. But I do talk to Barry a lot. He tells me a lot about what's going on, and he tells me little details that, you know, how bad I am about remembering details. I would love to tell you about the restaurant meeting for 2.5 hours up there in Kentucky, but I can't remember much of the detail. But you know, Dick mentioned Leonard, the 33-year-old young man. It's his father who is the pastor of that church that they've been exiled from. So consider the difficulty of that. And we all have difficulties, but that one, that's different. So pray for him and pray for his father. He told me that his father could see things wrong with the Mennonite church, just didn't know what to do about them. And so pray that the Word of God is strong where that's concerned, and maybe he can see the truth also. There was something else about the conference I was going to mention, but I'm forgetting now what it was. All right. Before I start, does anyone like to take 2 minutes and give us your testimony? Oh, speaking of taking 2 minutes to give your testimony, the testimonies that Jack had on Saturday evening before the second hour, or before the second service on Saturday, he had several people get up and give their testimony and invited anyone who wanted to. And Charles came over and sat down behind me. And I thought Charles was going to give his testimony, and he leans forward and he says, 2 minutes, Jerry? 2 minutes? None of the people that got up there took 2 minutes. They all took... So anyways...
That's why he was
colored. Yeah, probably was. Yeah. 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 Yes. Who got saved on Friday night at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he'd come down there rejoicing that they could see that truth, but he was lost. And I don't know how many times this has occurred in people's lives. They see a lot of the truth before they trust Christ as their Savior. Men, you could probably testify to that. But as it was with that young man, and later I remember that we were standing, five or six of them and me were standing there, and other people would come and go, and we were having this conversation. And he was right in the conversation until another one of them told me about taking this truth to his wife. And he prayed that the Lord would show him a verse. And he had his Bible open in his hand like this, and he stepped forward like this, and he said, look, it was right here, Romans 6, verse 14. We're not under the law, but under grace. And when he said that, this man who got saved 3 hours later was backed up, stepped back, away from the crowd. And I never thought about it until afterwards that it was that clear this man needed salvation. Dick's got more to tell you.
I got something else to talk
about. All right. Get on with it. This is great.
Well, one of the things it was also, I guess, cool is the best thing. After the first evening, after Steve preached, which was absolutely, he and Robbie were just, as I said, they could have ended the conference right then because it was so good. But I was talking to this young lady who's newly married that they hadn't told their parents yet. And she was sitting there with her Bible open, and she's going to a Bible class taught by a Baptist woman. And she said, this woman is very interested in what I'm, in what I'm telling her, but I don't know very much. She said, she's concerned about baptism and about this spirit baptism. She said, where is that verse that says we're baptized by the Spirit? And I said, well, I think that's 1 Corinthians 12:13. So here she had her Bible open, and she turned to it. She said, that's it. That's what I wanted to see. Now, how many people have you talked to who wanted to know that you had the verse, we can be glad that we come here and learn this stuff, but on the spot, that was it, and to see her be so excited to go back and tell her teacher or the lady's class that she's in phenomenal.
Yeah, amen.
It was just absolutely phenomenal. Oh, they're coming to Louisiana.
Yes.
Leonard told me.
Your chance to see it, meet these folks in person.
Yeah, Leonard, on the way out, you know, nice to meet you and whatever. He said, "You going to be in Baton Rouge?" I said, "Yeah, we're going to be there." "Okay, we'll see you there."
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was going to mention to you. That is, there's flyers out there for rooms. That's June the 4th to the 6th. And I'll tell you something else. The older fellow, Mr. Miller, is talking about coming here. You see, Mr. Miller's got a unique job. He drives the Amish. So he has a lot of downtime. And he says, "If I can work the days, we're coming to Texas." Which would be marvelous. I hope they do.
I told Barry, I said, "Now we got the Mennonites here. Next time, we hope we have some Amish."
Yeah, right. If Barry does his job right.
That's right.
Anyway, it is a... Yeah, Mr. Miller drives for the Amish. I said, "You drive for the Amish?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "They can buy a car, they just can't drive it." Ain't flesh something? It is.